Orgasmic Carmatic, Bengu, and Female Satan.
Welcome to the news. You've got Orgasmic Carmatic, Betty Doom, and Female Satan. That was a intro that was made by my friend Ave Casanos from Infinity Network. We're pretty good friends, so he made that for us.
Yeah, that was actually pretty awesome.
That was awesome.
It's super loud. I didn't realize it was going to be so loud. It seems to just drill right into your ear. Didn't sound like that when I uploaded it. So maybe I uploaded it wrong. I'm not sure.
Loud is not wrong.
Yeah, I want to copy.
So
yeah,
how
I'm
are
sorry.
You all doing? I'm trying to get
my
browser to stop being stupid. So if I drop, ladies, I'm entirely sorry. I will try to get Studio up and running. But it seems
well,
to
we'll
be
holding down the
fort. Okay. I don't understand what's going on with it. So that's just my heads up for you. My Internet Explorer is saying Windows Internet Explorer not responding. Thank you very much, Windows. I fucking hate you. All right. Well, today's show based on the 48 laws of power. I kind of blame this on Reverend Ronald French because he posted them, and I never put too much thought into the 48 laws of power before he posted them. It was just something I kind of heard about, and I have the PDF of, and I read random stuff, but I became obsessed with them for about 2 weeks. So I was like, oh, show, okay, cool. So that being said, yay, it's working. All right.
Oh yeah, no, I gotta say, I've mentioned this. I think maybe to both of you in private, but you know, it does need to be said on the air. I'd seen the 48 Laws of Power, the book, you know, in bookstores for, you know, some time, and I'd never actually picked it up because I judged it explicitly by its cover. I got to say, I didn't even turn over the back cover because, because I just saw, like, the 48 laws of, you know, insert abstract noun, power, prosperity, success, you know, the list could go on. Oh, it's filed in the self-help section. That's whatever. But I'm very glad we're doing this show because it actually prompted me to read the book.
That's an interesting place for the 48 Laws of Power to be placed. I mean, it's not necessarily where I would place it, but now that I think about it, I'm not sure if I could come up with a better area to put it in.
I hadn't read them until we started doing this show, until we decided to do this show. I had to read it beforehand, too.
Oh, it's nothing if not self-help literature, just the best kind. But, I mean, that's such a weird field. There's another book, The Art of Living, like by Epictetus, that is also self-help literature, but it's ancient self-help literature, and it almost obsolesces the entire field if you sit down to it.
Yeah, I would also put 7 Habits of Highly Successful People in the same category where it gets placed there, but it's just a fantastic book. And if you live your life by those, you actually can obtain success like it says to. So.
Pup was giving me crap earlier this weekend about how I may have inadvertently started an National Women's Reading Club because Betty was in chat last night. I've never read the book. I had to go out and buy it, you know. To be fair, I had never read it either. It was one of those books that have the reputation it precedes it. And it's always one of those you should read this book kind of books, but never really think about doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, who makes these lists anyway?
That's a good question.
There are some very, very traditional ones, but, like, I don't know. There are two colleges that still offer, like, you know, an old school great books education.
Does anybody have
a
favorite law of power? Or
I actually
have
made a list
used
of
any of them? Okay.
I will say, actually, no, it's really hard to think of a favorite one, but I did made, I made six, and actually it's almost seven because I can't decide which is my least favorite out of the six. I don't know. I just tried to make a list before the show. But my absolute favorite, straight up, is number two. Don't place too much trust in friends and learn how to use your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my absolute favorite. And I actually, I disagree with the author's presentation of Law 6. You know, just court attention at all costs. You know, the little blurb in italics that you get under it. It was a phrase, what is unseen counts for nothing. And I disagree with that, you know, wholeheartedly.
Well, I guess it would depend because if it's left unseen, not necessarily. Well, if it's left unseen, then no one knows about it. And if they know about it, but they don't know who did it, you don't benefit from it.
Well, you have to kind of parse it out because, like, you know, in one sense, what the author's saying totally makes sense, but I wouldn't wish to take that in the sense of dismissing what is unseen. And in the book itself, like, he tells the story of Mata Hari, you know, the exotic, you know, belly dancer / German spy. And he uses her as an example and kind of throws in almost as an afterthought that she was a spy, even though that kind of, you know, draws the reader to notice that there was, she combined courting a great deal of attention with many unseen, you know, subterfuge, subversive activities. And you know, that worked for her for a very long time until she was executed. So she was employing the principle of the sixth law. She was courting attention in a very ostentatious, you know, very specific way. And she used that also, you know, to further her own ends, which, you know, were very much under the table and unseen. Damn, we're just getting, like, right into it on this one. Does anybody else have, like, a favorite?
I would say that Law 21, Play a Sucker to Catch a Sucker, Seem Dumber Than Your Mark. I actually used it to get promoted at work, which is kind of funny because my boss didn't know how to do taxes or any of the paperwork whatsoever. So I just kind of, I totally played him. I asked him how to do it, how he thought to do it. And then I basically manipulated my way into getting promoted as a manager using the fact that, well, I'm too stupid. Can you help me? Pretty much the whole time, you know, taking him by a leash and sort of feeding him that whole idea that he was sort of telling me how to do it. Well, at the same time, I'm the one that's good with numbers. I'm the one that obviously got promoted. You know,
yeah, sometimes it's more valuable to have the skill than to have credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See,
well, that's
I'm going to be a negative Nancy here. You know, with a lot of these laws, what I did, instead of really picking out my favorites, I do have favorites, but instead of picking out my favorites, I made a list of ones that I would discard.
and that I would imagine trying to use, but them backfiring very, very quickly. That was actually one of the laws, to play a sucker to catch a sucker, because if you do it too repetitively, you know, eventually that's the only thing that you're going to be looked at. You know, if you play your weaknesses or you play their weaknesses as a reflection of your strength, eventually you're going to be looked at as, you know, lower than they are, which I assume is the point of Law 1 in the Varrauchshire New Master. But call me vain, I like to be noticed for the level that I'm at. You know what I mean? I would never be able to actually...
I see where you're coming from,
Lexi. I would never be able to put out Law 21 sincerely. It would always drive me nuts.
Okay, for the listeners, what is the text of Law 21?
The
Law
21, play a sucker to catch a sucker. Play dumber than your mark.
Yep.
Oh, shit, yeah, no, I'm really not taking notes. I thought you were referring to another one, yeah. I'm sorry. But
Paul,
I just want to point out,
you
go ahead, Francine.
Well, y'all were referencing Law 1, Never Outshine the Master. Now, I would say that that is certainly applicable in a work situation or pretty much in any situation. I mean, everybody has somebody that they answer to at some point. And if, you know, you're the person that's always, you know, like when I worked at Waffle House, for example, I had a boss, and I mean, like, I totally use that. I mean, not only did I let him take credit for most of my stuff, but I would always defer immediately to him in order to make him feel like he was the one in control, even though at the end of the day I knew I was, you know. And I mean,
well,
I
think that's rule number one for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, power is a thing that doesn't necessarily come with a title or necessarily, a lot of times it just comes with who you are and what you're doing. I mean, you can be, the lowest in a hierarchy, so to speak, and have the most power if you do it correctly, which I think is kind of the point of Law 1.
I think that's something that runs throughout the entire book, actually. Yeah, there are two points I want to make here. Not all of the laws are mutually compatible. You know, they're not strategies that you could employ together. But they'd be useful to be aware of because they are strategies that other people may employ on you. Like, if you are aware of, you know, all these principles and the way they operate, then you'll not only have a useful tool bag for yourself, but you will also be able to avoid exploitation, manipulation, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, like from, you know, the 48, you can see, like, several different styles maybe emerge. And, you know, I think a lot of people that, you know, seek power or traffic in power are going to fall into a certain profile within those, probably for the most part. But even they would still want to be aware, you know, of other tactics employed by other people, especially those that they are specifically weak against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my favorite law, while we're on favorite laws, my favorite law out of all of them, which probably would not be surprising at all, would be the very last one, Law 48, assume formlessness.
Formlessness.
Me too, actually.
Well, I know the case
that is
going to happen. That is her favorite.
Well, very appropriately. I read that and I fell in love with that law. And I find that a lot of the laws have a lot to do with keeping people on their toes and being unpredictable and having that fluid movement and never quite letting everybody know where you stand at all periods of time. That's something I do at work a lot. Nobody really knows to expect anything from me other than I will be there on time, I will do my job, and just the important principles of a person that goes to work.
But as for anything else, they cannot predict what I'm doing. And I prefer it that way. I prefer not having a specific personality or specific traits for at least in the outside realm of where I live for anybody to be able to pin me down. And I also find that amusing online where people who pin me down or they think they've pinned me down, but they really miss their mark a little bit. So the idea of unpredictability is really attractive to me. So this law is very, very attractive to me.
Well, I think it's not coincidental that, you know, that's the case for both of us. And this is, you know, one of the cases where the fact that we're all women is actually quite relevant. You know, the book uses the example of Catherine the Great as, you know, someone who made, you know, a very effective employee of this principle. And I mean, Sun Tzu also observed this, that people are more apt to accept, say, social reform from a female leader. You know, they can picture this kind of maternal image and project that onto their leader where they otherwise really wouldn't or might be actively mistrustful thereof.
When it comes to females, I think this one really applies to us too.
Hell yeah.
Law 34, be royal in your fashion, act like a king,
yes,
be treated like one. This is another,
yeah,
one of my favorites. Because
that's actually on
they
my
all, because of the fact that the way that you project yourself is very oftentimes how you're going to be treated. Now, you're going to run into a douchebag that's just going to be a douchebag. That's just the way that is. But
mm-hmm,
it's very common to hear dress for success in lines along that manner. You know, you dress above your role, be treated above your role, you become that role. Kind of like, okay, fake it till you make it. You know,
oh, absolutely.
People
will take their cues on how to treat you by how you treat yourself, primarily.
Well, it was interesting to me the other day in Sin Chat, Medusa said, no woman should ever leave their house looking like shit. This is something I full-heartedly agree on. It may be something stupid, a girly little quirk of mine, but I do not believe that anybody, especially a female, should leave their household looking like they don't take care of themselves. I find it...
Oh, perfect. Right on. We may get all of our feminist cards thrown out the window for this, but no, seriously, I'm a hardcore feminist, you know, like, whatever. We all know where I am on that ground, but for real, it tells people something about you when you cannot maintain your appearance, and that is more sensitive for women. I make assumptions about...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I would say with Law 34, at least for me, I mean, and I, from a less magic perspective, if you want to project confidence, you need to dress in a way that makes you feel confident and sexy by default. And then secondly,
okay, but go on.
Oh, well, I was going to say that by default tends to make you act more confident, and then that winds up actually changing in a lot of ways the way you're acting in generally. I mean, I know that if I'm wearing a dress that I think I look great in, I act differently than if I'm just knocking around in jeans and a T-shirt. I mean, the amount of confidence just increases, and I'm more likely to do something in, I don't know, a bolder way than I would if I was dressed in a more conservative way. Does that make sense at all?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Just like, you know, a businesswoman will go to work in her, you know, little business suit, and she'll act business-like. You go out. I know when I go out, I get dressed up. I, you know, put on my skirt. I put on, you know, a nice-looking outfit. get my makeup done. Shit, I won't even leave the house unless I have my makeup done. That's just the type of girl that I am. That's how it is. But I see a lot of women, for some reason, it comes across my mind when a woman walks around in, like, baggy sweatpants. But this goes the opposite direction, too. Women who think they look good in something, but don't have the respect enough for their bodies to dress appropriately. Is that making sense to anybody?
Yeah, it does. I gotta say, there are a lot of, you know, imperative, very subtle ones that still surround the way that women dress, even in free societies. There's still such a thing as a professional beauty quotient. And it, the reason that I say we might get all our feminist cards thrown out is that it is somewhat heretical, you know, to, from a lot of people's perspectives, people who consider themselves the vanguard of women's interests, to say that a woman ought to be remotely conscious of the way that her appearance affects the way that people perceive her, or even that she should aggressively try to turn that back and, you know, refuse to play ball at all. The problem I have with that is that we all have, you know, our own sense of vanity. And it tells me something when you just can't muster it in any form because you reject, you know, one type of vanity that you see has been used against women or in ways that disempower them.
Oh, no, that's all true. I would say that my, I don't know, I mean, I enjoyed the entire book. I actually didn't like it overall. It was, I don't know, to me it seemed like it contradicted itself a lot before, I mean, it didn't, I don't know, I feel like I've gotten more out of other things than I did from the 48 Laws of Power, to be honest. Plus, and y'all do have to forgive me. I'm exhausted. I've had a really busy week. I just put a blog up about it, actually, so I'm not as here as I should be.
Well, the 48 Laws of Power lost me a few times, not because of the actual laws or the meanings or interpretations behind it. It's just that I'm not very interested in history. So as they go into stories of, you know, interpretation and stuff like that, I get lost because I just don't want to read about history. But I thought it was interesting enough. Her skips through a lot of things. But in the beginning of the book, it doesn't say, you know, you have to read it all the way through. It actually suggests that some people will jump or be attracted to certain laws that they think will fit into the life or situation at that time. So I kind of jumped around myself.
Well, I think it'd be an excellent, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off.
It's okay.
But I think it'd be an excellent book to study over and sit with for a long period of time for that reason. Because over time, different things are going to kick up dust and you'll notice different things. First, you know, maybe the way they apply to you, what you could put to use in your life. And then, you know, there are entirely other ways of looking at it. In addition, one of the big things that I was kind of scanning for as I read the book were what kind of tactics might be being, you know, rolled on me and I not be aware of it. And that was, yeah, pretty much the way I read the book. And I got a lot out of it that way.
Did you find any of that? Happen or
are you kidding? Try it again that way. with that specific intent and, you know, see how it comes across.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned that in one of the laws I have written in my ditch list, I actually labeled it ditch list. Yes, it's right here in front of me. It is law 11, learn to keep people dependent on you. I thought this was a really, really scummy-ass law. I personally think that it
Oh, I mean, I guess it could be beneficial, but I can't imagine how.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, but it reminds me of a lot of people in my life, like in my past now, that literally made it so I had to be dependent upon them to get what I needed to get done, or at least made me think I'd had to. And once I moved out of that mind state that I didn't need them to actually survive, then I was like, now, wait a minute, now, you motherfucker, you know. That made the ditch list, for sure.
Well, now, to me, I think that Law 11 is actually very applicable. I mean, dependence on a person can come from a lot of things, and, like, you know, like, to maintain employment, I mean, I always, myself, the one that where I work could not possibly live without. I'm the one you call if you need me. I'm the one that's always on time. I'm the one that's ultra-dependable. Then once they depend on me enough, I know that I can pretty much get whatever I want or need out of the situation. I also have children, so, of course, you know, they always need and want me. You know, my husband always needs me. You know, I think that that's an incredibly applicable thing. I think it's how it's applied that's important. You know, is it being used to manipulate, or is it your character and your worth that's making people depend on you? I think that's the main difference there.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, I don't mean to nitpick at this, but I mean, Lexi, is it possible that this made your ditch list due to a visceral reaction based on the effectiveness of this law applied on you in the past? Because, I mean, you're a very smart, capable person, and so am I. And, you know, I've been caught in, you know, these kinds of positions as well. And I cannot dispute the effectiveness. It's not like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, at some point I got to cut my losses and say it's not as though they didn't get a lot out of me. And I will be very wary of it in the future. It's not as though it doesn't work. So it may be on my ditch list for, you know, personal reasons. It's not my style. Well, it's actually not on my ditch list. but I don't know. I mean, can you get where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah, I totally see where you're coming from, as it being a personal thing, as a lot of the ones that made my ditch list, it's very personal. I can see where you're coming from. Somehow I linked Law 15 to Law 11 and Crush Your Enemy totally. Now, this law states, you know, get rid of them completely, exterminate them. But if you do that, then you can't use them to your advantage. So what do you think about that? Should you completely, or should you pick and choose what enemies you crush completely?
Well, I mean, it really depends on how you look at it. I think that total victory is always to be preferred. It does not necessarily mean that you annihilate them. They are literally gone from the earth. But your aim should always be to annihilate them as a threat to you. You know what I'm saying? It certainly doesn't mean they're not around anymore, and it definitely doesn't mean that they can't be used, because they could very well be your chattel. But I don't think there's any point in engaging in a conflict if your aim is not total victory.
Okay. The reason that I linked it to 11 is because if you got your enemy to a point where they were completely under your thumb, you know, you could use that to your advantage, and they could be less dependent upon you, and they could be a very essential piece to whatever you've got going on. I believe that's why they're linked together.
You know, and on the other side of it, to make a friend is to destroy an enemy. If you make a friend out of them.
That's true. And I'm more of a, I don't know, I don't really have a lot of enemies. I never really have. I'm not an enemy person. And whenever I do get somebody that I feel that way about, I just cut them out of my life completely. I mean, like, they no longer exist, they may as well have died. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's pretty much, that's it, I'm done. You know, I've always said that the best way to defeat an enemy is to live a good life and, you know, just don't feed them at all. Just don't even, you know, acknowledge that they exist. I that's one thing I didn't like about Law 15 is that I thought it was rather, you know, seems like you're still going after them. And just to me, it seems better to just, you know, just cut them out, let them go, let them have no more influence on you whatsoever, you know?
Right. The book does state, though, it does warn against not having enemies. It suggests that if you do not have enemies, to make enemies, even to the point of making a friend an enemy. I thought it was beneficial to read because of the fact that it does prove out a really good point. If you have an enemy, you know what you're standing up against. You know what you don't want. You know what you don't like. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would also say that the people that have hated me the most, you know, have always, I think, pointed out the biggest character weakness or character flaws that I have. I mean, in a way, I'd almost prefer to ask somebody, you know, what do you think of blank that I absolutely hate? Because, you know, people that genuinely like you will tend to focus on the positive aspects than you know, the negative aspects. So, you know, I will say that, you know, is that people that utterly hate me typically are the most honest with me, hands down. But I just don't, I don't know. I don't have a lot of them, and I tend to just not engage. Or people will absolutely hate me, and I won't even realize that they do. I'll have no awareness about it whatsoever. I'll think we're friendly, and it'll be a shocker to find out that they don't like me most of the time.
Do you have any favorite laws, Female Satan?
Me? I would say that probably, I don't know, Law 7, let others do the work for you but always take the credit. That sounded to me like it was relatively genius. And it reminded me of that quite a bit, actually. I mean, I can't count the number of times that he's, you know, started an ooze show or something and then basically put down the phone and walked off because everybody called in and it's all good, you know, so you just have to do it, you know, and it reminded me of him quite a bit, actually, so, yeah, my favorite, yeah.
That's interesting, and that also made my ditch list, oddly enough, mainly because, you know, I just can't, I don't find any satisfaction in letting everybody do everything. And then, mm-hmm. And I don't like dealing with having to hear from people, oh, no, I did that. And I do quite a bit. So, you know, I guess I have never really taken advantage of it. So maybe maybe I shouldn't have put it on the ditch list. It just sounds very unsavory of a law. I must be a pessimist because all the laws I'm pointing out, besides the first two or three that
all
I
right,
mentioned,
well,
I'm going to point out another law that I don't like. That seems to be, you know, an ideal thing for people. It's Law 18. Do not build fortresses to protect yourself. Isolation is dangerous. Everybody... Right. I messed up my words. So, this law seems to go against the grain of everyone that I seem to talk to. For the most part, everyone wants to keep to themselves, almost. Like, it brought up the end of the world threat, I believe. That's what it was. Everyone, yeah. And I'm saying, you know, in periods of time like that,
my first instinct is going to be try to find other people who have the same ideals as I do, and that's going to be how I protect myself. A lot of people, they like to be left alone. They don't want to deal with that. And I think that's a grave mistake.
Well, I mean, I do agree with you, but I also think that, especially like when you're talking about like the end of the world threat, it's going to become dependent on who exactly would be your ally there, you know? Like, I mean, I'm all for, you know, hanging out with somebody that's, you know, better at doing something than I am, but I'm not necessarily, you know, if the world's ending, going to be all for, you know, basically carrying somebody into the situation either. And also, what I thought about Law 18 was, honestly, I thought about my family and my children and, you know, my really good friends and stuff. That kind of it resonated with me on that level, is that there's people that I really care about would do anything in the world for, you know. And there's not a lot of them, but they exist, you know. But, you know, outside of that, it's kind of, you know, fuck the rest in a way. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, to a certain extent, I agree. My first, you know, obviously my kids come before anything else, but I mean, power in numbers, personally. As long as you're smart about it. And that's the idea behind it, you know, you just gotta remember to be smart about it. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen very often.
All right, so, Mindfox asked a question in the chat room earlier that I thought was a good question, which he was asking if any of us had used one of the laws in, you know, in our daily lives, and how those apply. So I was wondering if y'all had any of, you know, any examples, like when you read it. I know I did. I had a few where I was like, oh, I've done that. Yeah, you know, in quite a few. Did y'all have any of those, or?
Did we lose Betty? We didn't lose Betty. I don't know where she went. All right. Well, because I don't know where she's at.
Oh, we lost Betty? Oh, boy.
She's still on the line, but I like Law 26. Keep your hands clean. I always, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I will always, always be the last person, you know, especially at work, I will always be the last person that you will come to suspecting that there is something going on. I think that having that reputation at my job, it allows me to get away with quite a bit.
Please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue.
Whoa.
What just happened? Hello?
No.
Hello?
Hold on. We got a problem.
Yeah, it told me to wait. You would put me on.
But you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, we've got a problem.
All right. What is it? A studio difficulty?
Studio problem. They can't hear us.
Oh, great.
studio is...
They're all commenting about the fact that they can't hear it. Let me see. No, I haven't found either. All right, what do we do?
The show is not off air. I'm not quite sure what's going on. The studio is
It's actually showing on, I mean, on mine, it's showing 000. It cut the show off.
It cut the show off?
Apparently.
How did it cut the show off?
I don't know. It says it's got 20 minutes remaining, but it doesn't, there's no, nothing.
Not playing or anything like that. Oh,
mm-mm.
Boy.
Yeah.
Well, this is awesome. I love how we just continue talking anyways, you know. It says it's on air on my thing. Like,
yeah, it does
on the webpage, it says on air. Let's see.
Yeah.
I might have to go back to the old switchboard. If that's the case, then we're going to have problems because they're releasing studio, period. They're getting rid of the switchboard.
Yeah.
And, it's just not.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
All right. We're back up, and I believe we're getting Betty back. I have no idea what just happened there, guys.
That was so weird. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, it's
the app was off.
That the host would be with me, and weird, yeah.
Okay, but are we back online?
Yeah, we're back online. All right, sorry, guys. I'm not quite sure what's going on with the studio here. They are getting rid of the old switchboard on the 27th, which, as we all found out on Saturday during Dan's show, there were some issues with the studio. Obviously, they've got some bugs to work out because it said I was on air the entire time, and then we dropped Betty, but we had her, and I'm not quite sure what happened there. But anyway.
Well, in answer to Mindfuck's question,
I would
have to say Law 40 despise the free lunch.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually like a fundamental principle of how I was raised. Like, my parents warned me at every turn, you know, always, always mistrust something that's given to you for free, unsolicited, you know, without asking, because it's like it says, there's usually a trick or an obligation attached to it, or the expectation of cultivating some kind of dependency.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I'm sorry, I kind of lost the topic there with everything going on. Oh, no, I would definitely agree with that. Now, my mom is the queen of the free lunch, so I've learned more from the fact that she always wants something for free, and then I have to, you know, she wants the free lunch, so to speak, from me. And I've learned the hard way, you know, that, like, that never works out, ever. My mother-in-law has a bad habit of that, too. She'll give you something, and there's always an obligation attached. Always. You know,
I use the 40th principle on the other end, too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people, you know, that may offer you something and you'll regret it later. I'll put that right on the table. I definitely use it on the other way and to great effect.
All right. A great example with my mother-in-law was, and I remember this with my oldest son, she bought me some maternity clothes. Now, this is like a totally silly thing, but like, I was like, yay, I'm so happy, you know, and then like, No. She pulled every dollar that she had spent out of me on, like, family obligations. She actually wound up planning my wedding for me. It wasn't even my wedding. It was her wedding, but I was in it, basically. Yeah, you know, like, I paid for that. Every time, you know, she does something, you pay for it. You pay for it through the nose. You know, if $50, you're going to get $200 worth of for it, guaranteed.
All right, ladies, we actually have a caller on the line. I lost connection with the chat, so I'm not quite sure if the chat's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually outdoors.
I can't see the chat, so if there's, you know, anybody in the chat, then I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure. I was logged out for some reason, but 917, you are on the ooze.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry, first time calling, a little nervous.
Don't be at all.
Perfectly fine.
All right, I guess I just wanted to add my own two cents. Honestly, I don't know if this law was mentioned, but Law 30, make your accomplishments seem effortless.
Well, thank you. That's actually a very salient point.
Yeah, because people, it kind of relates to the a few other laws, like act like the king, you'll be treated like a king. I think it was how it went. Because if you act like you know what you're doing without really putting in effort, people will beckon to you and they will want your advice, and pretty much they will look up to you, thinking that you are superior to them, at least on some way. Like if somebody spends all their time studying and they go to class and they know the answer to everything, people are going to want to interact with that person, correct?
Yeah.
So that's my opinion. That law is exceedingly important to at least pay attention to. Of course, but if you actually look down later, further down the list, I believe it's never seem too perfect. Right there you see that the author is definitely trying to tell you that though you can act like you're doing everything effortlessly, mm-hmm. if you act too perfect, then you're just going to be considered conceited, and any attention you might have will be negative due to the human nature of envy and jealousy and all those negative emotions they have towards anything that seems too good to be true.
Well, I would definitely agree with that. I think I do that. I try to my best to be incredibly honest. You know, if I mess up, I tend to tell people, you know, and I always point out, you know, my weaknesses and, you know, those kind of things too. So, yeah, that would actually be probably one of my favorite laws would be never appear too perfect.
Studying as much as you can for an exam, for instance, because when I was in college, I noticed there was a whole culture, a whole, you know, just fashionable thing of going around all the time talking about how sleepless and hungry and, you know, run down you were because you'd been studying all the time. And it took all the luster out of any academic achievement that you actually got out of that. Because, yeah, no, I would hope you have all A's if you've been up for the past 36 hours and you've been eating nothing but ramen and, you know, with your nose in the books all the time. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I mean, everything needs to be moderated. Otherwise, then, you know, too much of a good thing is bad for you.
You know, another law that never appear too perfect goes along with law number one, never shine the master.
Yeah.
By accentuating what you can do and looking like you somehow, you know, never do your job better than your boss.
Yep.
Essentially, I guess, is what I'm saying. And if you do, make sure that you're doing it to completely eradicate them. And make sure you're in the position to do so. Because if you don't, you know, it can backfire very easily.
Well, if you can't, then you must appear as an asset. And there's another... Which one?
remember the text. That's horrible. I think 15. Yeah, no, I'm not going to get anywhere just, like, throwing out numbers. But...
I would say Law 44, disarm and infuriate with the mirror effect is a good one, you know. It says the mirror reflects reality, but it's also the perfect tool for deception. When you mirror your enemies doing exactly as they do, they cannot figure out your strategy. The mirror effect mocks and humiliates them, making them overreact. By holding up a mirror to their psyches, you seduce them with the illusion that you share their values. By holding up a mirror to their actions, you teach them a lesson. If you can resist the power of mirror effect. I would certainly say that that's very, very applicable.
You know what I find really great about that law is for those who are being, those who are using the mirror effect against, if they could just see past what's really going on, then they would be able to predict your next move. Because if you really truly are mirroring their attitude and how they're reacting to things, they should be able to know how they react to things. They should be able to predict it. The great thing about it is you're getting them so worked up, they're forgetting about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, not only that, but also I think it works very well just in and of the fact that I think that if you're using it properly, you're going to start knowing what that person is going to do next, because you're going to start figuring it out very quickly, because you're trying to, you know, you're trying to be exactly like they are, so you're going to start knowing what their next move is, too. On top of it, you're going to assume that you're an ally, because people even think that people that are like them somehow.
I've noticed that. And I remember that when I was thinking about, so when you ask for help, you should always just in a way that it feels like someone's helping, so it's never mercy or gratitude. Not after they're reporting the same thing. I just keep the ground thing and rolling the file.
Right, I'm not sure what that was, if someone's having phone troubles or not.
Yeah, I couldn't hear. It was all... Just it kind of went out for a second. I don't know. That was weird.
All right, well, we'll just continue. A law that I thought was really, really important was the law I know what it is. Whoever's on the phone that has the player running, it's the echo. It's a 10-second delay.
Yeah, no, my computer just crashed, so it's not me.
Well, we're just having all kinds of technical difficulties, aren't we?
Yeah,
we thought
right
the
now,
first
my
show
computer's
was a
checking for repairs. Like, what the fuck?
All right, we got about, like,
very
a minute left. Let's just pretend like we're not having technical difficulties and just power through.
Wow.
I had put on the thread, one of the suggestion threads, they talked about the girl time once a month, and I put down there that I didn't think it was a really terrible idea for us to do a monthly fish session, if you girls thought that was a good idea, like an hour-long free-for-all once a month.
I patently refuse.
You refuse?
Yeah. Sorry. You have to draft somebody.
Great.
I'm conceivably bribable, but, like, nah, man. That just sounds so, so god-awful and unnecessary. But we can get into that. We can argue about it.
I would love to have a show based around an argument. I actually, you know, now that we only have about 5 minutes left into the show, I'm astounded at my computer. Anybody that's left in the chat room, we are taking suggestions for a good debate topic. I am a very argumentative person, so I like to argue and debate. So if you have any suggestions, feel free to send mail me or Female Satan or Betty Doom, and we'll get one of those things together.
5 hours? Like, please?
I think female primacy is going to turn into a debate.
Because if we can't, if we can do that, then, like, I don't care what it's about. I mean, I'm happy.
Tomorrow's show, I'm just going to do it this way. Tomorrow's show with Dan Dredd and Fisino is Aeonic Magic and the Left Hand Path at 1 o'clock. And Outbreaks, Atlas Shrugged, Jason Sorrell. And the next Fallen edition is The Humans Are Monsters. If I encourage anybody to go check this sort out to, you know, gather your opinion. It was a first requested show for this episode.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been looking forward to that for some time now.
I am.
That's the one you knew about, right, Betty?
Oh, yeah, no, one of my formative texts as a youth was actually Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. So, yeah, no, we can get into that.
All
yeah,
right.
I'm actually obsessed with monstrosity.
Well, ladies, I think we're going to cut the cord to the show today and head on out. Because, you know, thanks to whoever called in, we apparently are inconsiderate bitches and didn't even bother to add or ask your name, but thank you for calling in. Sorry to everyone. We had some very horrible technical issues that I'll talk to TC about when it comes to studio because it just glitched and I hated it, and now I hate it and I want to kill it. Would that be
yeah, just an occupational warning here. I am an inconsiderate bitch. And I apologize. If you would like me to know your name, then I mean, you will need to volunteer it.
We will not add your name.
Yeah, but that's great, because now this person is going to be somebody I know, and they're going to be like,
I think our first show went smoother than this show.
I think so.
I do. I really do. I think that this show just went, yeah, you guys technologically
really?
Suck. Well, you know, I think, you know, it went pretty well, and then it just, I blame technology.
I mean, we had some difficulties, but I like this one for content over the first show, definitely.
Yeah, well, I'd say the content was better on this one, but once the technical difficulties started, we kind of lost steam. It kind of started derailing pretty quickly. And then
that's okay. We make technical difficulties look good.
Well, it's a learning process for everybody, so we'll get the hang of it soon enough. Hopefully sooner rather than later, so we don't have to keep going. I'm sorry. Well, hopefully I get the hang of this or they get rid of studio. But anyways, I'm going to roll the outro and end this clusterfuck. And I'll see you all soon. Thanks for the support. And we'll see you later.
All right, is it good for you? Good for me? I'll go have a smoke.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by CC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is the old expression goes. Come along. Special thanks to Zach Rocky Aroma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?